Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1, the Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
La. Drip, drip, drip.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Hey, what's happening?
Mail Sack Tuesday. Get the Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. We'll get to that in the 9 o'clock hour. Jake Butt's going to join us at 7:15.
Yes, right around the corner.
We like big butts and we cannot lie, so nope. Jake will bring his on over to Dirt and Sprague here in the second hour of the radio program.
He was in Piscataway this weekend calling the Duck game.
I have to get our big picks in today. We are Tracy McGrady days away from the Trailblazers tipping off the season.
Got my finals prediction ready to go.
Some good number ones out there. Nate Tiny Archibald.
Okay.
Your very own Chauncey Billups.
Big shot Billups to you.
And Robertson was a number one on the Bucks.
Oh, okay. Oh.
But I gave it to T-Mac.
T-Mac was a big deal for our childhoods. Yeah. I had to. I remember when
I was
a kid.
Rod Strickland loved out there? For
oh, I loved Rod Strickland.
Ant Simons?
I remember when I was a kid, those finger sleeve things that Tracy McGrady, I don't know if he was the first one to wear them, but I always connected the finger sleeve to T-Mac, and I remember buying one of those even though I didn't need it to play hoops in my basement, and I felt really cool.
I will get to the football. We got Danimal audio I want to get to today.
Yes.
At his press conference.
He did.
But I want to just throw out to you guys to start the second hour of the radio program. A reminder that tonight is the first night and debut of the NBA back on NBC, so we're going to get round ball rocking our lives again.
Don't screw this up, NBC.
And I want to pay attention. Here's a programming note. Okay, I don't do this very often because I'd prefer you to listen to all our programs here on The Fan.
Yes.
All day long. Us, The Firm, Happy Hour, Isaac Atsouk, of course. Halftime of Rockets Thunder will be the start and the very first edition of MJ, Insights to Excellence. That is going to be the name of his series that he's going to do on NBC. I don't know what it's going to entail.
Okay.
I don't know how the setup is.
So he won't be on the desk then for NBC coverage?
No.
He's doing like...
He does his specialty stuff.
Specialty stuff
and
during halftime?
MJ, okay. Insights to Excellence. So what I think happens here is maybe he gives us film breakdown of what he's noticing that's great about the Thunder, or maybe Kevin Durant's edition of a Rocket stuff. I don't know what it is. But man,
will it be good?
I hope it's good.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I hope he's not Wayne Gretzky.
There's a lot of all-time greats that
Magic Johnson's not even good. He smiles,
no.
But he doesn't say anything.
No, his tweets are now a running joke about the most obvious things possible to say. I hope it's good. I think it's really cool that he's back involved with the NBA on a week in and week out basis, and I hope it delivers for fans.
And I hope that it's entertaining and he gives us the MJ kind of swagger to it, because Charles Barkley's the biggest basketball guy out there. Charles Barkley loves to make his thing crapping on the NBA.
Yes.
MJ seems like he's actually enjoying basketball when he watches it.
Yeah.
So I hope that comes through on the broadcast. My goat making his debut, MJ Insights to Excellence.
This is every year sneaks up on me.
I know.
Like, wait a minute. What? The NBA's back?
I'll move on.
I'm going to sit around tonight, turn on an NBA game, and it's going to feel very abnormal. But I'm going to do it for you, buddy. I'm going to do it for you.
When that theme music hits, Thunder Rockets, it's going to move.
They better not screw it up. I want, you need to give me a prepackaged open. Why do basketball games not do that anymore? Every football game I watch now,
maybe they will.
I get like a 5-minute prepackaged open of, you know, leading into a song that's happening. We got it. That has to happen tonight, NBC.
A Tirico narration leading in.
The Rockets adding Kevin Durant to the offseason.
The Thunder
taking
on repeat.
The defending NBA champion.
A Southwest divisional rivalry.
Rockets, Thunder. Next on NBC, and then you get the peacock. The peacock's got to pop up on the screen, and then you get the music. If they just like have some stupid BS pregame show, and they're like, all right, let's send you out to Oklahoma City, and then there's like a sky camera over the stadium with a blimp, and they're showing you the stadium, and then this just randomly plays in the background, I'm going to be livid.
Who is hosting the pre?
Probably Maria Taylor. Is she doing it?
I'm not exaggerating. I actually got kind of teary-eyed. You just hit me right in my feels, dude.
You got to
so
have that. You can't.
Tonight.
Don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. The blueprint is there.
Yeah, Maria Taylor with Tirico on the main call.
I'm assuming it's her. I don't know if it is, but I'm assuming it's her.
That sounds right. I know they had a list of like 87 people that were going to be involved.
Tom Tolbert, Bill Walton.
What is it with NBC having the biggest collection of people? And so many of them are like Matt Castle.
Oh, God.
Why does Matt Castle have a job talking sports?
At some point, I mean, you go to
watch
nine
that guy at
people?
Halftime of any NBC college football game.
He's been there. He knows.
He provides literally nothing.
He played, though.
Look, the Dave Portnoy stuff is bad, and I don't want to watch it, but at least he's entertaining. It'll make me listen an opinion out of me. I'll yell at my television over something dumb he says. This place is really loud, guys. It's going to be a tough environment. Second half.
Why are you holding a pretend microphone? You have a microphone. You
back
can hold.
Back to you in the studio.
You can hold your
I'm
microphone.
Randomly here in the stadium, but the rest of our crew is back in the studio. Nicole Arbach, back to you.
His Penn State tunnel thing was really bad.
What's it like, Matt, walking out of the tunnel? You know,
it's loud in here.
Focused.
There's lots.
Accomplishing the goals and, you know.
Man, but only he would be able to give you that because he played.
He has played.
Career
backup, get out of here.
You may recall that about a week ago, we brought up on the radio program, a certain coach in Eugene, Oregon, asked by a big national college football writer named Chris Lowe about commitment to Oregon.
He's getting it again. Is he leaving? Or do you really mean it, Dan?
Now Florida's open.
Will Alabama come calling if DeBoer don't get to the playoff?
And what did Dan Lanning say, Dirt?
Said, I'm not going anywhere. I want to win a national championship. My kids, I want to stay here. I've moved a ton. I don't know how many times I need to say this, but I'll continue to say it. I'm not going anywhere.
That's pretty good. There's some good job openings out there. Hey, Jed Fish, what's your answer to the same question?
Yeah, I'm not going to address any of the coaching changes or coaching rumors or anything to that effect. I've learned from that. That, you know, the most important thing we can do here is talk about being where our feet are. And I think it's a really important time for us to play really well this week. And that's what our focus is on. And my responsibility is to make sure that our team is fully ready to play our best game on Saturday.
Why wouldn't I be the coach at Washington?
It did have a Willie Taggart vibe.
It absolutely had a Willie T vibe.
Talk
to
about
it.
Where my feet are down right now.
There's,
what?
Look, this is the you I thought made a great analogy a week or two ago when you compared what we do in the NBA with player movement. Is this guy getting traded? And well, you know, what market will Giannis go to? This is that version in college football, and it sucks. I hate it for the sport that we're in the middle of the season. Washington, I know, got embarrassed in Ann Arbor this weekend, and the game didn't go the way that they wanted to. They're 5-2. They have a chance to win every game remaining on their schedule, sans the Oregon game. You ain't winning that one, puppies. But a 9-3 season would be a great year, and that's a phenomenal building block. And instead of focusing on that and maybe beating a ranked team at home this weekend against Illinois, this will dominate the headlines because it's all people are thinking about. In the long term, it might be a moot point. Maybe he stays. Maybe he leaves. But it just is unfortunate that the sport has to deal with this. The defense I will give to coaches is there's not really a right way or wrong way to answer this. Because if you come out and say, I'm not going anywhere, and then you leave, you're called an absolute liar. If you dance around the question, we're going to criticize you for dancing around the question. I'd imagine if we're giving him truth serum, Jed Fish does not know what he's going to do. And so he's trying to give you the soundbite that will not be remembered by everybody in 3 months if he is to take the Florida job.
Well, how did you think Rule handled it on McAfee? Did you think he made it conclusive, I thought like, he stamped it that
he stamped
not
it down. I'm not going to buy 100% what he said.
No, I know, but
I thought he handled it in terms of like okay. an emphatic answer. He gave you, I'm not going anywhere. Okay. We got a young team we're building.
All right.
But again, to the point, if he takes the Penn State job in 3 weeks.
Yeah, but it's no different than if he would have just not answered it and taken it. I this is where we slightly disagree, I think. I'm used to coaches being liars. Dan Lanning opened a press conference yesterday and told me how dangerous Wisconsin is. That's a lie. I've watched them play football. They're terrible.
They got a lot of talent, man. They push you in different ways.
But that's a lie that you go, yeah, you're a coach. You don't want to be the cocky sniffing coach and overlook an opponent. You got to keep team locked in. I get it. I'm not calling him out. However, is there any different feel emotionally if a guy lies to you about going and then goes versus doesn't answer the question and then goes? I think you still ultimately end up hating the person.
Either way, you end up still being in pain and you end up hating him.
Okay, so Dan Lanning answered the question emphatically. Kurt Cignetti signed a piece of paper to tell you his answer.
Well, he's not going. That extension spoke to it of like, yeah, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm fine here.
And again, he may, to your point, not know what he's going to do.
Yeah, I don't think he does. I don't even know if Florida's called him yet. I think Florida has all their antennas on Lane Kiffin right now.
Dare I even suggest it might be worse to completely obviously avoid the question and then go than to just straight up lie? I almost think I'd rather be lied to be easing my emotions and then you
for a couple of weeks
me.
And then I just hate you after you end up leaving either. I mean, look, it's a valid point. No matter how he leaves, people will hate him in Seattle. And rightfully so. We hate coaches that leave. That's a thing that every program goes through. When you do get the dodging of an answer, the biggest thought that I have, and I think not that this didn't happen last week because Matt Rhule again was very emphatic in the way he answered it on Pat McAfee, but it was a distraction for the team. I don't know if it's the only reason they lost to Minnesota. Dude, they got their teeth kicked in on the road on
Friday
night.
You think that was a distraction? I just thought they just didn't play very well.
I just think it's a thing that kids are having. You got a quarterback going up to the press conference. He's having to ask questions about it. He's posting on social media about it. People are tweeting him about it. Is your coach leaving? It just becomes something that you're thinking about outside of a game. And when you get that level of evasiveness in the answer, then, yeah, that was my thought of, like, does this impact them at all on Saturday? I don't think Illinois is a very good football team. I think it's absolutely a winnable game for Washington.
Well, Illinois can beat them, though, too.
Sure, of course they can. But if they come out and lay an egg, that might be one you look back on and say, well, they clearly weren't ready to play.
Isn't that part of this, too, is, like, it's not even becoming the coach anymore. It's kind of becoming the package deal. Now, we did say that about Fish and Fifita at Washington, right? But there's going to be some real like, oh my God, if he does get the Florida gig and Lane says no thank you, how is he not going to ask Damon Williams, who's
he's going to go with him,
who's in Bill Conley's top 10 Heisman guys, despite what he did at Michigan, still think statistically is in a Heisman conversation for Bill Conley, like the SEC in Florida?
Yeah. They're going. They're
and
all
the collective's
going
to give me the money. Like, yeah, that's a little different than Arizona to Washington.
Half the team is gone if he takes the job. And that's the reality of every coach. It's a total restart, as Washington learned a couple of years ago when Kalen DeBoer left. I'm just going to reiterate what I said yesterday, and I firmly believe this, and I can't believe positive things might come out of my mouth with that program. If you're Washington, there is one thing that you cannot do here. And the one thing that you cannot do is feel pressured into giving Jed Fish an extension he does not deserve.
The panic
pay is the worst thing that happens in college football, and it's how all these universities end up getting hamstrung financially long term. Jed Fish has shown you nothing to give him a long term massive contract extension. Nothing. He was fine last year. It was a really tough circumstance. This year, we'll see how the rest of the season goes. They played two teams with a elite-ish roster, and they got dominated both times they played them. I wasn't asking Washington to win those games. I thought 8 wins would be a step in the right direction. The recruiting has picked up. The talent profile has elevated from when he took over. I don't disagree with any of that. But you're Washington, man. You've won national championships. Well, half of a national championship in your history. You're in a major market. You should be a decent recruiter. Like, you can move on from Jed Fish and be just fine. Don't allow the fear of him leaving force you or pressure you into giving him a contract extension that he does not deserve.
We will not get to the other embarrassing local audio. I didn't think that one was as embarrassing as the other one. My university had a very weird weekend.
It did.
We didn't talk about that game. I don't really want to talk about that game.
You announced your coach search committee. Scott Barnes is in charge. Don't worry. We're all right here.
And somebody say, this is an embarrassing list. And I said, this committee's not going to make the hire. It's going to be the search firm. And then Scott Barnes is going to make the choice from the search firm. This committee's to make people feel better.
Yeah.
But they stormed the field for being an FCS team, and they were incredibly rude to a reporter. So we got that audio we'll get to at some point. We have audio from Dan Lanning we'll get to here in the second hour of the program. But coming up next, Jake Butt, our good friend from the Big Ten Network, hops back on for the Daily Ticker on 105.1 The Fan.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and now open in Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Yeah, Daily Ticker time here on 105.1 The Fan. Dirt and Sprague with you on a Tuesday. Get the mail sack questions in to 503-864-6326. But the Daily Ticker brought to you on The Fan by our good friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Five new coastal locations, my man.
That's right. New ones open up.
Rockaway Beach, the newest location to the family. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, and Lincoln City, obviously there. And again, five coastal locations taking over Oregon's coast. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Our good friend Jake Butt's going to join us right now here for the Daily Ticker on Twitter at JBooty88. Big Ten Network. We enjoy talking college football with him. Jake, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us. I want to start with this. What is the Halloween candy bar that Jake Butt has to keep away from him, otherwise he'll eat all of them?
Well, first off, good morning to you guys. It's been great to build this friendship over this season. So excited to break it all down with you. Man, all the candy bars, though, really, that is like my guilty pleasure. I tell my wife, like, we can't even have it in the house. Hide it from me if that's the case. I love Twix, though. Twix is Twix is my go-to.
This is third date. This we're getting serious now, Jake. Third date is all of a sudden like, you know, we're having conversations.
This is
a
second base interview time.
Yeah, what's happening after this interview? I kind of want to know where we're going to go from here. I'm very excited. I think it's a blossoming relationship. Let's get to the game you called on Saturday night. Oregon going on the road at Rutgers. It was one for some Duck fans like, hey, 3,000 miles away, tough loss to Indiana. Look what happened to Penn State. Is that going to be our future? I think Oregon quieted that pretty quickly. What was your takeaway from just being, you know, the interactions you had with the team going into the game and then the aftermath of a blowout win at Rutgers?
Well, yeah, you know, I think everybody expected Oregon to win and then not, you know, ever sweat in the game. But, you know, those long road trips, especially coming off a physical game and a physical loss to Indiana. A lot of teams have started slow. They've like struggled to start fast. You know, you're kind of getting your, it's almost like getting your sea legs after that long plane ride. And Dan decided to take the team in the night before, right? So they landed on Friday, where, you know, that's been another storyline, is a lot of coaches haven't been able to figure out when they even want to travel. So Dan doesn't overthink it. He's a master motivator, takes them in Friday and says, we are the Oregon Ducks. They have to adjust to us. And then they go ahead and put it on tape, starting fast from the very first play. I know they had the fumble initially, but that was just like a little T-bite, a tick bite or something, nothing yeah. crazy. And, you know, I feel bad for Rutgers because, you know, there was nothing they could do. They just happened to be the next team in the way as Oregon was looking to send a message to the rest of college football that the team we saw against Indiana is not who they are. Dante Moore played his best game of the season. The offensive line was absolutely dominant. It sounded like gunshots going off in the stadium when they were doing those crack pole plays, and you get their linemen and fullbacks, you know, with a running start, just popping the Rutgers linebackers and secondary. So just answered every question. I didn't really have any questions after the Indiana game. All that was a tough loss to a really good team. Clean yourself off and move on. I didn't have any questions, but if anyone did, they were answered against Rutgers.
What have you made of all the coaching craziness? It's not that it's new to us that coaches are getting fired and buyouts are happening, but I'm just curious what you make of it. I equated it earlier to college football is experiencing a real moment. It's the second biggest sport in America, and yet I think the coaching stuff operates the way the NBA trade stuff does. It's just constant conversation of who's getting traded into what team. That's kind of what college is, right? It's like, what coach is going to get fired because he's lost his first game this year? What do you make, Jake Butt, of the college football coaching landscape right now?
Well, it kind of just falls in just the theme of chaos. You know, what we love about college football is the unpredictability, is the chaos. This season has been, it's been the most chaos that I can ever remember in a college football season. So it's fitting that we can say the same thing specifically about the coaching. And I think really what I make of it is I just look at where we're at in college football, and it's an arms race. It's a resource battle. But, you know, aside from the revenue share, it's fundraising. And you're going to your wealthiest alum and saying, hey, can you cut a check? No, unfortunately, it won't be a tax write-off for you. Can you cut a check for the love of the university and for your team? And those are big checks being cut, and with that comes high expectations. And if you aren't meeting those expectations, moves are going to have to be made. Otherwise, those checks will stop coming. So it's just kind of fitting for where we're at as a whole.
I wanted to ask you about your alma mater. They had a big win this weekend, and on both sides of that, I'm just curious. Like, one of those coaches that all of a sudden was getting some chatter was Sherrone Moore. The way they lost on the road at USC, and it was like, that didn't look like Michigan. We've always known them to be so good at the line of scrimmage. It didn't go well for them out on the West Coast. They bounced back with a big win. Just your thoughts on what that meant for Sherrone Moore, and then on the other side of it, Washington is now dealing with this because Jed Fish's name is getting thrown out there for Florida, some other openings, of just where they're at and where they could go the rest of the season considering what their schedule looks like.
I felt that was the most important game of Sherrone Moore's head coaching career because of the way they lost to USC. And, you know, going into the USC game, I felt that was the most – before the USC game, I looked at the schedule. I said, these next two games, on the road at USC and then hosting Washington, we're going to find out everything we need to know about this Michigan football team as far as the 2025 season goes. And to go on the road to USC, a team that's known for finesse, for throwing the ball – and to lose with the headlines being USC imposes their will and physically dominates Michigan, I was absolutely shocked. The team didn't look prepared to play. And all of a sudden, you know, if Michigan had beaten USC, they basically controlled their own destiny to the college football playoff. That's why that loss was so gut-wrenching. So Sherrone Moore gets up there in the press conference after the game and says, listen, we didn't tackle well. We didn't call our best game. It's all fundamentals. It will be fixed this week. And I said, all right, let's give them a chance. Let's see, you know, okay, Sherrone, you've earned the right for us to trust you. Let's give them a chance. And he was absolutely right. Now Michigan physically dominated Washington. You know, Damon Williams and Jonah Coleman had two forced missed tackles the entire day. Those guys are electric and hard to bring down. Michigan was constantly in great position. They didn't miss any tackles. They dominated the line of scrimmage with a backup running back and with an injured left tackle without their top two tight ends. Bryce Underwood, their freshman quarterback, played his best game of the season. So, you know, talk about a response, just like Oregon did on the road against Rutgers, Michigan with a critically important response against Washington.
Our guest is Jake Butt, our good friend here, former Michigan tight end, doing great work on the Big Ten Network on Twitter at JBooty88. You know, some people think that Ohio State might be the lone superior number one team, and then it's kind of everybody else. I don't know if I subscribe to that. I'm pretty curious to see how the playoff will eventually shake out and what the matchups will be, because I don't know if Ohio State's truly been tested. I don't look at Texas and really think much of them right now. I'm curious for you. Do you think that there's one top dog? Is there a couple? Or do you think there really is, like, from one to maybe even 10, just a big lumping of teams that are going to have to figure out how we sort the chaos?
I do think that it's Ohio State and a gap. Now, whether it's a big gap or a small gap, I do believe there is a gap. It's Ohio State and then, hey, sprinkle in Indiana. Alabama with Ty Simpson has looked great. I mean, you can kind of go down the list and start to list different teams. You know, Ohio State, they're the defending national champs. And the big storyline this offseason was, you know, how are they going to replace the NFL talent? They are also replacing or were replacing both their coordinators. And what we've seen this year, at least in my opinion, the defense is better. I mean, Arvell Reese, their middle linebacker, that guy's a first-round pick, in my opinion, a top 10 pick potentially. Caleb Downs is the best defensive player in all of college football. Obviously, you got the talented wide receivers. But the big thing that we've seen with Ohio State is their quarterback, Julian Sand, played his best game of the season last year. That's what I was waiting to see is, you know, it looked like they were maybe hesitant to trust him a little bit. It was conservative play calling. And then Sayan goes out there and throws for nearly 400 yards, spreading the ball around to his weapons. That is just a complete and dominant football team. That doesn't mean that they're going to sleepwalk and guarantee themselves a national title, but it is going to be really, really tough to beat Ohio State because of how dominant their defense is and how multiple their offense is.
Well, and that opponent that they played this last weekend is the one that's in Eugene. And I, you know, there's not a lot to talk about with that game because Wisconsin's not very good. And, you know, Oregon can kind of pick their score. I more from the angle of, like, you went to Michigan, obviously you're a proud alum and you follow your university and all that. Let's change roles and say you're an alum of Wisconsin. How you feeling right now? Like, the AD comes out yesterday and it's like, no, we're going to recommit and financially support him. And they haven't scored a point in 2 weeks. They've scored a total of 10 points in 3 weeks. What do we make of what the hell has happened to Wisconsin, a program my entire life? It's been not a title contender year in and year out, but one of the more respected college football brands out there.
Oh, man, if I was an alum, I would be pissed off, you know, and I would say there is a lesson for the rest of the Big Ten and college football as a whole. You know, it is risky. Look at Penn State. Your program is in a really, really great place, and then you chase that next level. There's a long way to fall, more so than there is a way to you know, reach that next level, and that's what Wisconsin is experiencing right now, which is football hell. What sucks more than anything for them is I think teams can handle losing. I think teams can, you know, handle even a frustrating game here and there. But that program, the Wisconsin Badgers, they had a clear identity. Like, when you were playing Wisconsin, you knew that they were going to have a dominant defensive front. They were going to have a staple of running backs that is arguably running back university up there next to Alabama. And they were going to challenge your toughness on a week-in, week-out basis. I could not define Wisconsin football right now. I can't tell you what their identity is. I can't tell you what their strength is. Their weakness really is everything at this point. And that's the most frustrating part, is they're just caught in limbo. And I'd say what's really dangerous, and this is why I was shocked that the AD would come out there and say that, I think it'd be better for them to have a fan base that is really, really pissed off, rather than what their fan base is right now, which is really apathetic. Yeah. They're indifferent. They almost just don't care at all. That is a scary place to be.
I can tell you the identity. They suck. That's their identity, and they need to get out of that. But Big Ten Network, final one for you. Are you a Halloween guy? What was your favorite costume maybe you had in college?
Oh, Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the parties in college.
I bet you did.
Yeah. I got a pretty long neck. I'm like 6'6", but really I'm 6'3", just with a long neck. And so I wore a giraffe costume, and that was a smash hit for my teammates.
All right, that's great.
That's pretty solid. We just wrapped up our third date. Should we go? You want to go get some ice cream or something? Should we keep this thing going?
That would be great, guys. Yeah, I'll fly out there and meet you out there around 1 o'clock today.
Dude, let's go, you get out here, we'll take you, and we'll treat you nicely.
Hey, what game are you calling this weekend?
I have Illinois at Washington.
Ooh,
so a really, okay. really big game for both of those teams.
Okay, excited, man. I didn't see the broadcast schedule last week, and then I turn on the Rutgers-Oregon game, and I'm like, look at that, Jake. Our guy Jake Butt's on the call. This is great, so can't wait till you call that one this weekend.
What time did you turn it on? Like, where was it at in the game? Was it the second half, first half?
No, it was before the game started. I was as a Duck alum, I was ready to rock and roll. Nervous energy after a loss. We needed to wash that taste out of our mouth. I was dialed in 5 minutes before kickoff. We were ready.
Jake, do you ever have thoughts during like 56-10 or whatever that score was? We were like, let's talk about literally anything else.
Yeah, we prepare for these kind of things on a weekend week. Like we know, hey, what are some storylines if this does get out of hand? What are we going to talk about? And you know, thankfully for us, Oregon was chasing their all-time yards record, and I'm thinking at halftime. Excuse me, I'm like, man, I grew up watching Oregon. I think about all these historic offenses and explosive offenses that they had. And I took a second. I'm like, I'm in the booth for what might be Oregon's best offensive performance of all time. That is really, really cool. So we had the graphic going and we were chasing it. But, you know, Dan kind of took his foot off the gas there, you know, obviously late in the game, and they didn't end up getting it. But it was fun to cover it down the stretch.
See, that's why you're great at what you do. This you still it. Cared even at that point where I was kind of watching more USC Notre Dame because I'm like, well, they've blown out.
Yeah, I was right there with you, Jake. I need Brock Thomas highlights on tape, okay? I was locked in with you all the way to the end.
Jake Butt, Big Ten Network. He'll be on the call for Illinois Washington. That's a great football
game this weekend, yeah.
Have a great call. Thanks so much for hopping back on with us. Let's do this in a couple weeks and have our fourth date.
Cool. Sounds good, guys. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
All right, there we go. Jake Butt, Big Ten Network, Daily Ticker.
Enjoy him, man.
Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com.
Really fun to talk to him. He's been really good. Good to the show. Good to have him on. Good Big Ten presence from him. That'll be a fun. Illinois-Washington's a very interesting game this weekend.
We'll get to more of that throughout the week. I got Danimal audio, and I have a question. Where do you put it?
Oh.
I don't know where people put it.
Did you want to ask Jake that before we let him go? Are we not there yet?
I'll ask you guys.
We're not there yet.
Where do you put it? I literally don't know where you put it. So we'll get to that all coming up next. You can always count on the Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game every Sunday all season long, starting at $30 for the first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. We will get to the mail sack today in the 9 a.m. hour. So get the mail sack questions in at 503-864-6326 as we roll along here. Durant's break here on the 105.1 The Fan. Fan Sports Network, YouTube as well. So good morning to YouTube.
I would like to give an apology to all of our podcast listeners the last couple of days. We have seen all of your texts and all of your tweets. I'm assuming the fill-in did not know how to...
He didn't have access.
Didn't know how to... Yeah, we didn't have
that. He had to give it to Jeff Rust.
So we've seen all of the tweets. The podcast community is very important to us. We love all of our podcast listeners. Whenever you listen to the show, and hopefully everything will be back as normally scheduled today.
We love all our listeners, whether you're live on the podcast, specific hours, segments. We love you all. Not much from the Danimals press conference last night. Two cuts I took away. The first was on something you brought up, which I'm glad you did, because these are not things I always pay attention to. I always got to rely on, you're my hoss.
I'm your hoss. I got you.
Yeah, we're going to ride you to the end there, bud.
Was it Brock Thomas? Are we talking Brock Thomas? Backup quarterback? That's become quite the thing amongst the Oregon community. Why is Brock Thomas QB number two?
Boy, he was asked twice about that. He got quite angry at the second one. You could feel the anger of like, shut up. I told you Brock Thomas for now is two. That doesn't mean anything. No, he was asked about the shuffling of the O-line, which you brought up.
Yeah.
And here's what he had to say about changing guys in different positions.
Yeah, we just continue to look at strength in numbers, right? I think we had 67 guys playing this last game. I want to say we traveled just over 70 to the game, right? So as many guys as we can, we want to be able to see them in different spots, in different locations, because injuries can happen in the season, you know, much like Wisconsin's faced this season. And we want to make sure guys are ready for opportunities when injuries happen to look at guys at different positions.
So, you know, he says, look, we're just trying to get guys into different spots and be ready. That's why they had a kicker come out that I didn't know, and he kicked and he missed. And he said, but it was a good spot for him to try it.
Yeah, also, Sappington's been not very good. Not and so good. Why the hell, when you're going to blow a game, might as well try and see if another kicker can make a field goal.
Did that kid missing the kick save Sappington's job?
I just have got to the point where I don't want them to kick a field goal the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't care.
Just go for. I'd rather Dante Moore try and throw it to Kenyon Sadiq on 4th and 17. I think the chances of converting that are better than you making a field goal right now.
But yeah, he alluded to just like having guys prepared in case guys go down, and so moving them around a little bit, experimenting with the offensive line. It's something you noted during the game. And I thought it was interesting that he was asked and he talked about it yesterday in the press conference.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a wholesale change week in and week out. I think that when you're playing bad teams like Rutgers and again this weekend Wisconsin, it's going to give you the opportunity to rotate pieces. He's not wrong with the idea that guys are going to get banged up at some point. They've been relatively healthy, knock on wood, to this point in the season. And so you hope that that continues. You want to have contingency plans in place, but I also... He's not going to say this publicly. When you look at the grades of their offensive line and you evaluate how they've played, right guard has been a bit of a weakness for them. Not terrible. It's not, you know, going to kill their season, but it's not a strength of their offense. Mm. And so if they can find a combination that grades out better than what they did with Iuli at right guard and Harkey at right tackle, which is moving Harkey to guard and Wilson, who's a young redshirt sophomore kid from Florida, he's, you know, 6'5", 320, he's huge. Another one of these big tackles. If he could play at a high level on the edge or the right side of the offensive line, maybe it takes them to another gear. So I like testing that stuff.
And lastly, he was asked about the Grateful Dead uniforms. They're going to be wearing these. I thought he basically admitted what our nightmare was talking yes. about this yesterday.
Thank you, Dan.
Well,
thank you.
Here you go. Here's Dan Lanning on the Grateful Dead unis and Grateful Dead weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you that the jerseys don't look like they initially look. We changed that. So you could just imagine a one at a different level. And it's been toned back a little bit. But exciting to have that opportunity when you start to dig into the history of the Grateful Dead playing over 20 shows here, their involvement with the university, how it created revenue, obviously an innovative, right, think outside the box group and what they were able to do here in the Eugene community is pretty cool. So I'm going to have to spend some time to listen to them. I haven't done a good job of that yet, so maybe I can turn that on my late drive home tonight.
I mean, I think he's telling you without telling you, but kind of telling you that they were probably going to do almost all tie-dye. And I think he's like, no. Hell no, we are not playing in those.
Finally, a sensible head coach who will put his foot down over horrible uniform decisions. That was my biggest fear when they announced this. Like, the honoring the Grateful Dead is cool in the history and all of that. I'm not the biggest Grateful Dead guy. I don't hate the Grateful Dead. I got some on my playlist I will listen to from time to time. Them wearing all tie-dye would have been awful. Off. You just don't do that. If you want to have a touch of tie-dye, all for it. And they ended up knocking the jerseys out of the park. The number is perfect. The O on the back of the helmet's perfect. Little light touch of tie-dye with the black jersey. It should look fantastic as the sun sets in Autzen on Saturday.
Yeah, he saved you because I do think it would have been like tie-dye pants or tie-dye jerseys.
You got to get
or...
in the way of these people from time to time. No, we're not dressing people. As Cal. We're not dressing as Cal. It's not going to happen, okay? We don't need Lewis and Clark on the side of our helmet. We're not wearing orange socks over my dead body. Thank God for Dan Lanning.
Black with a little hint of tie-dye.
It's perfect. They're delightful uniforms. Those things are going to sell like hotcakes.
We got a lot to get to. Don't forget the mail sack at 9:15 today. Dirt and Sprague back with more. 7:44 on 105.1 The Fan.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes. Hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a 14-year-old football fan being interviewed after his team lost, telling he was born into this curse. We'll get to that today. Not a great weekend for the Beavs, despite them winning their first game of the year. Good stuff from Hankerson, but we'll get to that.
Cover the number, too. Look at that.
Good for them.
That 22-point spread.
Oh, man.
Nailed it.
Never in doubt at halftime, 13-10.
Yeah.
We'll get to the mail sack today. So yesterday I had to run to one of these local big hardware lumber stores that we know, and I needed to get a couple items. As I walked in, and this isn't surprising to anybody, right? You walk into these big stores now, and what do you see? Christmas. It's Christmas. It's not,
they got
it's not
it ready
Halloween.
To go. No, they got it ready to go.
And so I'm kind of perusing, and what catches my eye at this one is they have the Abominable Snowman, Yukon Cornelius, Herbie the Elf, and Rudolph. But the Abominable Snowman is legitimately like 20 feet high.
That's pretty badass.
Yukon Cornelius is as tall as me. They have big push buttons, so they all talk or make noise.
What are these things going for?
That's got to be incredibly spending.
What's your guess on the Abominable Snowman, for example? That does actually light up and make noise.
$249.95?
No, I'll say $1,500.
Oof. Sadly, he wins the Price is Right.
Does he?
You're way off. It is $500.
Okay. Yeah, you can't go over.
Yukon is like $400. Rudolph
is $250. Are these inflatable or are these like permanent plastic structures?
I'm pretty sure they're somewhat inflatable because I pressed the Abominable Snowman
pushed
and it went like
bit.
My hand. Yeah, it pushed in a little bit. But I just kept thinking because they also had a couple Halloween leftovers and they had like a Grim Reaper that was maybe 30 feet tall. I have neighbors that have those skeletons that are like taller than the fences.
Yes.
Where do people store these things?
Dude, it's actually funny. We have a neighbor a couple of blocks down. I've never met the people, but we walk by their house all the time. It was one of the first things we noticed when we moved to the neighborhood and we're walking around. They have like a 15-foot-tall skeleton in their front yard.
Yeah.
They don't take it down.
It stays up year-round.
It's up year-round.
Because they don't know have anywhere to store it.
They kind of have like a, you know, it's like old bricks in the front, you know, it kind of looks like a haunted house, if you will. And I think they're kind of leaning into it. Maybe that's why they bought the house, or maybe they designed it that way. And they just, I don't know if it's because they don't have a place to store it, but when we moved in, that was the first thing I noticed of like, that's a 15-foot-tall skeleton. And it's got red eyes that like follow you as you walk. Now it's fun to walk by it because you go see and it's like Halloween time, so it fits and they got other decorations and stuff up. They just leave the bitch up year round. We're like, we're not taking that thing down. We're not storing that.
The places I see with these like tall decorations that light up and make noise, I don't see like big storage sheds in the backyard.
No, the inflatable ones I'd imagine are a little bit easier because you could, you know, you deflate them and you roll them up and
but
you can get them in a small.
But the stands for the Abominable Snowman is still
big. Yeah.
It's sizable.
You got to have a decent sized garage if you're getting one of those bad boys. And if you don't, you better have a massive basement with a lot of storage because you're going to run out of space pretty quickly.
I did admittedly want to buy the Abominable Snowman, but I'm
pretty
not
cool
spending
to have
$500 and I have nowhere to store it.
I got no inflatables in my decoration game. We're lacking on inflatables. I'm not opposed to inflatables, but we don't have any for any holiday.
The wife is anti-inflatables for decorations.
How come? Just doesn't like a little too tacky?
Yeah, she doesn't like cheesy Halloween stuff. She likes actual scary-ish Halloween stuff.
Sure.
And we have a Nightmare Before Christmas inflatable, And it like that comes with just rope that you're supposed to tie down.
Oh, so if
it
you're doing
fall.
A skeleton, you're getting some real bones out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not, you know, plastic ones that look real.
As far as we know.
We ordered two skeletons yesterday. They were delivered at our door. My daughter came and was like, "Dad, a guy just dropped off two skeletons."
Like fully built skeletons? Or
yeah.
Okay.
And they're like 6 feet tall.
What are you going to do with those?
One,
where are you going to store those things?
That well, it actually collapses.
Okay, it folds down. Okay.
It folds into like a little, you know, mini thing. I don't know where we're going to put them, but one of them we might zip tie the hands and have it hanging from our basketball hoop.
That's a pretty good thing. There's a lot of fun ways that you could tie in the skeleton.
Ball is life, dude.
And ball is absolutely
ball
life.
Is life.
Now, what happens if you want to shoot hoops?
Well, then
you take the skeleton down.
We haven't had a lot of. Well, actually, we had good weather.
Dude, today's going to be like 66 and sunny. It's
beautiful.
Yeah,
my daughter's playing basketball indoors.
Yeah, okay. The atmospheric river is coming, I think, Thursday. Wednesday,
oh, it'll start raining.
Right.
I mean, we're almost there, but you're going to get those sunny days where you go. And it's only for a couple of weeks, right? It won't stay up after Halloween, so it won't hurt you that
so
much.
So here is the other part of this. So I'm looking at these. I'm pushing the button, right? I move on to go find my items, and I cannot find one of the items in these massive stores, and they have a million rows. I find a worker. And he's about midway up the row, and I start walking down the row, and excuse me, hello? And he turns and looks at me. I'm not kidding. He looks at me, and he turns and starts walking the other way.
He's like, no, I'm not helping you, dude.
So I start walking down. I'm like, hey,
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 hey, you.
Like, you can hear me.
Boom,
I'm
bum.
Not being quiet. I'm not mumbling. He's like, hey,
woo,
hey.
Woo, woo.
And he kind of looked over his shoulder again as he walked, and he got to the end of the aisle, and he kept going. So then I get down to the end of the aisle and I see him like two or three rows down and I go, hey, because nobody else is around.
Yeah, I can't find anybody.
These stores are as big as a stadium and they have five people working there. And he sees me three rows down. I go, hey, hey. And he goes down the next row.
I think he's a Mariner fan who knew who you were. He's like, I'm not talking to that guy. I'm not going anywhere near. Oh, there's that bastard Sprague.
And I kept thinking, I'm having to stalk an employee
just to get some help
of this store to just ask, do you know where some grease is, man? I can't find it. I'm sorry. I'm lost.
That's all that I need. Can somebody please help me here?
Eventually.
How long do you have to be in a store before you ask for help? Because I'm very stubborn in that way. I'll walk around for a bit, try and find things on my own.
I give it about maybe almost 10 minutes where I'll actually make the effort.
The big kind of stores you're talking about are difficult because there's a lot of aisles you're going down.
Well, right.
you're bobbing and weaving back and forth.
And it kept becoming this thing where he was actively not.
I think it was a Mariner fan. I think it was a Mariner fan. He saw, there's that douchebag Brandon Sprague. I'm not answering that guy's call. I'm not helping him out here.
See, I
might call security on your ass. Get him out of here.
I would rather you just say, I'm not helping you. I'm a Mariner fan and I hate you to my face than to just do what I did. I felt like I was stalking a human being. Yeah,
that would have been an all-time story for the show if he just turned around and was like, no, not today. It's game seven.
Just turn around and walked.
And turn around and walked away. I'm not helping you, man.
I mean, like not everybody that works at those stores doesn't help people. I eventually found someone that did, but
yeah, you got your help.
Some of those people, man, they're working there for the paycheck. They ain't working there to help you at all.
No, that was me working at a grocery store in high school. I'll just lie to you. Yeah, it's on aisle four. See you later. I'm going to go hang out in the dairy cooler for
you're
a little bit.
You're the worst kind of worker.
I'm going to go take some whippets in the cooler.
I don't think you should publicly admit that.
What? Who did what? I never did that.
We have a loaded third hour of the program. We will move on. We'll get to the mail sack today in the 9 o'clock hour. And local audio and the pain of a child NFL sports fan. Loaded third hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
what
people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.